Some weeks ago, I was reading in Genesis chapter 28, and I was really blessed as I read the account of Jacob's ladder. And it spoke to me in various ways, but I just want to share a few thoughts from that this afternoon. And it's Genesis chapter 28, and it's I'm reading, but again, you might not like it because I'm reading the message, but it starts with verse 10 and it goes through to verse 19. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and camped for the night, since the sun had set. He took one of the stones there and set it under his head and lay down to sleep. And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground, and it reached all the way up to the sky. Angels of God were going up and going down. Then God was right before him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. I'm giving the ground on which you are sleeping to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. They'll stretch from west to east and from north to south. All the families of the earth will bless themselves in you and your descendants. Yes, I'll stay with you. I'll protect you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to this very ground. I will stick with you until I've done everything I promised you. God is faithful. If he gives you a promise, he'll see it through to the end. Jacob woke up from his sleep. He said, God is in this place, truly, and I didn't even know it. He was terrified and he whispered in awe, incredible, wonderful, holy. This is God's house. This is the gate of heaven. Wow, that really, really hit me. This is God's house. This is the very gate of heaven. This is where heaven and earth meet, in the house of God. Amen. Tell you, that got me dancing. Jesus is the ladder. He came down from heaven to earth. He died on the cross. He gave his life that we might have life. He died for our sins, not his own. And he made a way where there was no way for us to be brought back to God. And I love in verse 13 to 15, God said to Jacob, all your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. I tell you, the kingdom of God will fill the whole earth. Not because we see it, but because God says it. Amen? If God says his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that will fill the whole earth, that's exactly what will happen. Praise God. He said all the families of the earth will be blessed. All of them. But through Jesus. And that's the message that God wants us to get out. To reach out to men and women. That God loves them. He wants to bless them and do them good. And this is a point that really hit me. In verse 16, Jacob woke up from his sleep. Church, it's time to wake up from your sleep. Amen. Can I have a few amens? It's time to wake up from your sleep. We were in America some years ago at one of GC's conference, and GC there spoke about how the church is the sleeping giant, and when she gets up, the whole world will know.
Well, God's about waking up his church. You've slept too long. Wake up! It's time to be moving. Amen. We're not going to be moving. I'm going to be jumping on there. Jacob said, God is in this place, and I didn't even know it. This is God's house. This is the very gate of heaven. Wow. He didn't know it. He said, he woke up from his sleep and said, God is in this house, and I didn't even know it. God wants a people who are sensitive to the Spirit of God. He wants his people to come to the house of God with something to bring. He wants his people coming to the house of God and saying, Holy Spirit, I'm available. Use me. Speak to me. I want to move with you. I want to recognize you. I want to hear you. I want to bless the body. What have you got to say? And he uses people who feel totally inadequate. That's what he's a master, a champion at doing. All he wants is availability. He's not looking for your ability. He's not going to use your ability. He's using your availability. He wants to work through you. Amen. How many of us are going to say, God, here I am, wholly available. Ask for me. I'm available. I want to serve you. I want to flow with you. I want people that come in this place to know that this is the very gate of heaven, where heaven touches earth. Wow, that's exciting. The church is not a place of bricks and mortar, but of living stones. Yes, are you a living stone? Well, I think you know I am, because I'm never quiet. Be a living stone. Shout the victory. Give him a shout of triumph. Don't be afraid of your voice. With people, church is not for staid people. It's for those who are alive. It's not for the dead. It's for the living. Amen. Let's show the world we're alive, very much alive. And the Spirit of God is flowing through us. That's exciting. That's church. Alive by the Spirit. Flowing with him and bringing heaven to earth. Sadly, the church today is very much trying to become acceptable to the world by following man's ways. That's not God. It's absolutely futile. And I was reminded of another instance in Genesis. Earlier on, Genesis chapter 11. Just a short chapter, the part I'm going to refer to is just the beginning of that chapter. Genesis 11, and it's about the Tower of Babel. Yeah. I'll read again from the message. At one time, the whole earth spoke the same language. It so happened as they moved out of the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled down. They said to one another, come, let's make bricks and fire them well. They used the brick for stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower that reaches heaven. Let us make ourselves famous, so we won't be scattered here and there across the earth. God came down. They hadn't got very high, had they? They'd finished it. And God, it wasn't in heaven, because God came down to look at the tower that the people had built. And he said, one people, one language. Why, this is only a first step. No telling what they'll come up with next. They'll stop at nothing. Come, we'll go down and confuse their speech so they won't understand one another. Then God scattered them from there all over the world, and they had to quit building the city. That's how it came to be called Babel, because there God confused their languages, and from there God scattered them all over the world. They decided that they were going to build a stairway up to heaven. That is very, very futile and stupid. What did Jesus said? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But sadly, today many of the mainstream churches are making a man-made structure intended to reach heaven. And God will confuse it. It cannot succeed. It is utterly futile. There is only one way to reach the people, and that is the gate of heaven. Because it's not us that's going to save people by our flashing lights and smoke machines and by our blending with the world, agreeing with the world, not upsetting the government, being obedient. No, we are obedient. We're obedient to God. And what God says is the truth, and the truth sets us free. We stand for the truth, unafraid, unashamedly stand for the truth, because we know that it's the truth that will set us free and that will set the nation free. Amen? God is looking for a people who are a people of power, who by His Spirit will move through this land in truth and uprightness. We're here to reach this community and beyond, but it won't happen through natural means. It won't happen through man's ways and man's efforts. You can have all the programs that you can imagine and think, oh, this is cool. No, it's not. It's not God's way. All you need to do is demonstrate the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He takes over and He will do the rest. And that's what God is looking for, a church that is the gate of heaven. We are the church, lively stones. Are you lively today? I am. Woo! My neighbour said to me, why are you so enthusiastic? Because God's real and He's exciting and life's tremendous. She said, it's so infectious, Grace. She says, I wish I had your faith. I said, it's available. God wants to do through you what He does through us. Be there. Just let Him do what He wants to do. I've been reading some notes of Smith Wigglesworth. And if you want to be inspired, read something about Smith Wigglesworth, his life story. It is really, really encouraging. And it makes you want to reach out more and more for the things of the Spirit of God. And he said in the 1930s, now I thought that the decline in society was more recent than that. But in the 30s, Smith Wigglesworth said this, men and women no longer read the Bible. So we have to be living epistles, known and read of all men. Wow, they're looking at you. They want to know, are you religious? Or are you alive with the Spirit of God? We are the advertisement for the church, for Jesus, for the Spirit of God. Do people see Jesus living in you? Do they see that excitement that says, I belong to Jesus, and I'm so proud I belong to Jesus. I would not have life any other way, and you can have what I've got. Jesus wants you to know Him in a special way. We're called, that scripture is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Nothing, as I've said before, but nothing is coincidental in the Bible. You know, 2 Corinthians, 2 is the number of witness, and chapter 3, 3 is divine perfection in the Godhead. God wants us to be witnesses of the divine perfection of the Godhead. Amen? That's what that's saying. There's nothing, even the place of scripture is found and its reference is important. God's a God of detail. And He's saying things in many ways to us. And He wants our ears to be tuned and attentive to His ways. We are called to be Jesus to those we meet. In 1 John 4 and verse 17, and this is one of Joan's favourite scriptures, As he is, so are we in this world. God has set the scene for us to be little Jesuses in this world, to draw men and women, to heal the sick, and to do signs, wonders, and miracles. There was a story in this book of Wigglesworth, and it's one that I've never heard before, but it was really encouraging. Wigglesworth was over in Ireland, Northern Ireland, and he was in the Shanklin Road area, and he'd got an address in his hand. He was going, somebody had asked him to go and pray, and he was trying to work out where he needed to be when somebody across the road came across to him and said, "Are you the man who prays for the sick?" He said, "I am." He said, he pointed over there, he said, "Will you go to that house over there, please?" So he went to the house over the road and he knocked on the door. Nobody answered. He knocked again. Somebody shouted, "Come in!" So he went in. And there was a man stood in the front room. And he just pointed upstairs. So Smith made his way upstairs. And when he got upstairs, he found a lady there. She was laid in bed and she could hardly breathe. She was struggling. She could not speak to him. She was just trancing around the bed, just flopping around the bed, trying to grasp her breath. He sat down at the side of her and he prayed. He said, "Spirit of God, what do I do?" And he waited. He didn't get panicked by what he saw. He quietened himself and listened to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God impressed upon him to read Isaiah chapter 53, the first 5 verses. So he turned to the Word of God and he read Isaiah 53. And when he got to the 5th verse that finishes, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." "Our chastisement was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." And she hollered from that bed, "Praise God, I'm healed," she said. And he said, "Now tell me, what happened?" She said, "I was doing what we ladies love to do. I was spring cleaning." And she said, "I needed to move a very heavy piece of furniture to get the dirt from behind it." And she said, "It was far too heavy for me. And it actually put her heart out of position. It just totally repositioned it." And from that point on, she struggled to breathe. And she went to the doctor and the doctor said to her, "You will suffocate and die." And that's what was happening. And so she went to bed a couple of nights before and God gave her a vision. And she saw Smith Wigglesworth coming into her bedroom and reading Isaiah 53. And she said, "Here you are. I know God is the truth. And he healed me. And he said he would, and he did it just as he said." Now there's two people who knew nothing about one another, but God directed the whole scenario from beginning to end. He saw that woman's heart and he met her need. She didn't have the faith to receive directly for herself, but he knew what she needed, and he sent the man and everybody to point the way to get him to be at the right place at the right time to minister to that dear soul. Don't tell me God doesn't see you or is not aware of your need. He's very much aware. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he will meet you no matter where you're at. You think it's impossible, don't ever think it's impossible. There is nothing impossible to God. He will always make a way where there is no way. Trust Him. Wait for Him. Expect Him. That was the word I was looking for. She had an enlarged heart. Each of you of us are alive with the Spirit of God, and God wants it Himself to be flowing through us. These past few months, God has been speaking to us and training us, wanting to get to learn, to know, to understand how the Spirit of God operates. And He's wanting His church to work in the gifts of the Spirit. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, miracles, healings, faith, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. They are all the same Spirit, but a different work that He's doing through people. And you might not flow in all the gifts. You may major on one gift more than another, but I always remember Andrew saying when he was doing some teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, what's the best gift? The one that you need at the time. Smith Wigglesworth needed healing for this lady, and healing flowed through him. He regularly in this book, there's words of prophecy, there's words of wisdom, there's all sorts going through in this book. But the best gift is the one that you need at the time. So we need to be available to what God wants to do and how He wants to work through us. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31 says, eagerly desire the best gifts, the greater gifts, the more challenging gifts. God's not challenged. He will flow through us as we walk by faith. And I can't emphasize enough, if you can get to Bible school, you will learn how to flow with the Spirit of God. God has made that available for us as a church. We don't need to be big. We need to be big in God. We need to be flowing with the Spirit of God. He only used 12 disciples to turn the world the right way up. How much more can He do with us? Just wants to know, are you hungry? Are you passionate? Do you want to do what they did in the early church? Are you ready, like Peter and John as they were leaving the temple, just to going about their business? And the lame man came. And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. He knew what was in him. He knew the power that God had invested in him. And he said, such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he walked and he danced and he leaped and he praised God. Wow, that's what we need to be at, our Father's business. Jesus was always in the community, teaching the people. They followed him wherever they went, where he went, because they wanted something from Jesus. And they were passionate as he was. Disciples that were flowing with the power of the Spirit. Philip, he was translated. He was with the eunuch in the desert. And then did he find himself in Samaria? Can't remember where he finished up. But one minute he was with the eunuch. And the next minute he was in a completely different place. The Spirit of God had just translated him, and he never felt a thing. He just went from one place to another. You know, are we believing God for things like this? Oh, God is greater than anything you can ask or imagine. So let your mind go. Let the Spirit of God just fill you from top to toe and fill you with this sense of expectancy. To think outside the box and to expect the miraculous, because we have a miraculous God who wants to work through people, ordinary people, available people, like you and I. God promised Jacob that he would be his total source of supply. And it's exactly the same with us. He is our total source of supply. And praise God, Tabana's benefited from that. She's seen God's amazing hand on her life, even when she felt she'd fluffed it. But you know, hey, never, when God's in it, it's ours. Here, the church is a wonderful learning place. It's a place that God wants us to feel safe and secure. And it's a place where we can practice. This is the practice zone in the church. And in the Bible school, get to Bible school. If you're hungry for God, He will fill your heart. He'll fill your life. He'll show you the miraculous. Take you where you never imagined you could go. God's an exciting God. He's an adventurous God. And we've got to learn just to let go and flow with the Spirit of God. That's what He wants us to do. Because I know that is God's plan for reaching the community. It's not by man's works. That's the Tower of Babel. That will come crashing down. He wants the Spirit of God alive and oozing out of His people. People who are prepared to say, use me, God. I'm available. I want to flow with you. I want to reach men and women. I want to have compassion for these people. And it's even as you're just going about your daily routine, God will bring people across your path. And there's something inside of you that just prompts you. Say this. Do this. And it's amazing what happens. So I would say this to finish. We're not waiting for God. God's waiting for you. And He's saying, wake up, church. Get out of bed. Isaiah 60 in the Message. Isaiah 60. Get out of bed, church. Wake up. Put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen on you. The whole earth is wrapped in darkness. All people sunk in deep darkness. But God rises on you. His sunrise glory breaks over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to your sunburst brightness. Wake up, church. God is waiting for you. Amen.